Hello, Anthony Fennell here. And this week on Future Tense, the communication device that's rapidly changing the world as it fast approaches global ubiquity. Any guesses? Here are some hints. It doesn't fit in your pocket, it doesn't have a keyboard, and Steve Jobs had nothing to do with its development. We'll have the answer in just a second. Also on today's program, the first in a new series of interviews with people whose professions involve predicting the future. And we'll also meet Professor Thomas Broynell from the School of Electrical, Electronic and Computer Engineering at the University of Western Australia, who'll tell us about the electric vehicle charging project. That's to come. Okay, back to the mystery quiz. And this is my final hint. An Indian soap opera.
Usse sharan dena chahiye.
Agar itne bade ghar mein ghar ki bahu ki jaan bachane wali ladki ke liye chakana.
The communication tool that's exploding in popularity right across the world. Think. Okay, I'll give you the answer. It's the idiot box, the boob tube, the TV. Forget about Twitter or Facebook or the internet in general. TV is king, according to new research. And not only that, but television, according to a development economist with World Bank, Charles Kenny, is having a positive transformative influence on the world. But wait, I hear you say, haven't we been told for years now that television is dying, that it's being replaced by the web? And haven't we just endured another Christmas period of appalling TV programming? How can TV be a positive influence, let alone a growing global powerhouse? And what about that Bruce Springsteen song? You know, you remember.
I bought a bourgeois house in the Hollywood Hills with a trunk load of $100,000 bills. Man came by to hook up my cable TV. We settled in for the night, my baby and me. We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on.
Right, I think the boss and I have mounted a pretty persuasive case for the prosecution. But let's also hear counsel for the defence. Representing television is, as I mentioned, Charles Kenny, and his research findings were recently detailed in an article entitled Revolution in a Box, which appeared in the influential journal Foreign Policy. Charles Kenny.
Well, in Australia and England and the US, it is true that the internet is, you know, the ICT of the moment, the communications technology of the 21st century. But in many parts of the developing world, access to internet is really pretty minor. You know, less than 10% of the population has access. And that's not going to change anytime soon, because using the internet successfully really does take a fairly high level of quality education, which sadly is lacking in many parts of the developing world. On the other hand, the TV is spreading really rapidly. Just over the last 10 years or so, it's gone from about half of the households in the developing world up to nearly two-thirds of the households. And it's much more amenable to use by people who, you know, are illiterate or have a limited education. And so if you're looking for a communications technology that's really going to make a difference in the short term in developing countries, it's probably the TV rather than the internet.
And the TV, I think you point out in your article, has in some countries outstripped the distribution of electricity, if you like. It's ahead of the take-up of electricity.
Absolutely. I mean, when rural areas in developing countries get access to electricity, it's amazing how fast they buy TVs. It's pretty much the first thing that happens after people buy light bulbs is they go out and buy a TV. And access rates for TVs are multiples of a level of access rates to things like refrigerators. But even in areas where electricity hasn't reached, or at least networked electricity hasn't reached, people are using car batteries to power TV sets. So in countries like Peru, there are more homes with a television than there are homes connected to the electricity network.
So is TV fast approaching global ubiquity?
Yeah, pretty much. I think we'll see pretty much the whole world having access within the next 20 or 30 years. Now, there are some countries like Nigeria, Bangladesh, you know, very poor countries, where household penetration rates are still below 30%, so sort of two-thirds of households don't have a TV yet. Having said that, access to the TV is higher than that. It's a communal experience watching TV in many of these developing countries. I don't know if you saw the film Slumdog Millionaire, about the slums of India and somebody coming out of the slums to take part in Who Wants to Be the Millionaire.
Yes.
But one of the scenes in that was his fellow slum dwellers watching him on TV, and there was a mass of people in one room watching the TV. That's actually a fairly accurate image. So 30% of households maybe only have TV, but access rates are above 30%, and they're growing incredibly fast. So I think you really will see the TV pretty much, you know, universal coverage in the next 20 years or so.
Well, on a brighter note,
commercial break.
The government has now banned the carrying of spears.
Stop about every 1,000 miles, ain't asking too much, is it?
Now, it's long been popular in the West to deride television and the influence it has on us. If anything, if we acknowledge that it has an influence, we tend to look at it as a negative influence. But you argue, don't you, that television is having a very positive influence in all sorts of ways across the developing world. Just, you know, follow through on those thoughts for us.
Look, too much TV is a bad thing anywhere in the world. If you're spending 8 hours a day watching TV and turning yourself into a couch potato, you're missing out on the opportunity to spend time with friends and, you know, help grannies across the road. So it's definitely not that all TV is good TV. Having said that, when we look at careful academic studies of what happens when TV signals roll out across countries and so people get access to TV, what we see from those studies is really quite dramatic changes in things like levels of women's education and fertility rates, the number of kids that women are having. And one of the exciting things about this impact is it's not because of sort of worthy programming about, as it might be, condom use. It's actually fairly straightforward shows like soap operas and reality shows that are really behind this impact. It's people looking at images of their fellow human being living lives slightly different from theirs, and they say, look, if this is going on TV, why can't I have a bit of it? And so, to take an example, in Brazil, Rede Globo is the most popular TV channel in Brazil, and they show a lot of soap operas, mainly starring characters that are urban and quite well educated, comparatively rich for Brazil. But in particular, the women characters are quite different from the average Brazilian. The average woman character on a soap opera in Brazil has, you know, one kid, maybe two kids. A lot of them have no kids at all. At the time Rede Globo started, the average woman in Brazil, on the other hand, had about six kids. And so Brazilian women start watching these soap operas, and we see a number of changes. We see kids being named after soap opera stars. But more importantly, we see women having fewer kids. And another thing we actually see is the divorce rate in Brazil going up as Rede Globo's signal spreads across the country. Now, there are good sides and bad sides to divorce, obviously, but it is a sign of greater women's empowerment.
What about the fact that a lot of television around the world is still government-controlled, and a lot of those governments are not democracies, of course? Does that influence the positive aspects of television for people in the developing world?
Yes, it does. But actually, one of the good bits of news about that is beyond the revolution in access to television is a revolution in choice. In the next sort of 5 or 6 years, we're likely to see more than 50% of the world's televisions having access to cable or satellite, which means access to hundreds of channels usually. And that is access that governments can't control as easily. When you only have one or two state-run TV channels, and I was in Zimbabwe in the late 90s, early 90s, and indeed they had two state-run TV channels that concentrated on every time the president left or entered the country, and you get 3 hours of what he was doing at the airport. Not only boring, but not terribly powerful force for change. But when you get satellite TV and you can watch CNN or Al Jazeera or BBC World or whatever else you want to, you get different views of the world. You get access to different viewpoints on political issues, but also you get access to a lot more of the kind of popular programming that does seem to be having this big social impact.
Given the large numbers of people who are taking up television, as you say, it has enormous growth around the globe. Are we likely to see the future of global TV being much, much more competitive than it currently is?
You're certainly seeing more local programming appear. And so countries like, you know, Iran, South Korea, South Africa, Colombia, Turkey, all producing local programming and indeed selling that local programming around the world. I just watched a wonderful, again, Brazilian TV program called India, A Love Story, which is a Brazilian TV soap opera starring Brazilian actors, but it's actually about a love affair between a low-caste Indian and a high-caste Indian, one of whom lives in India and one of whom has emigrated to the United States. It's just a wonderful example of sort of South-South cooperation, if you will, of Brazilians learning all about what life is like in India and hopefully, you know, through that, learning more about the world and feeling a bit more cosmopolitan.
One of the criticisms that's made of TV is that it's a one-way communication. By and large, it's not interactive, as opposed to, say, the internet or social media. Is it limited, then, in terms of its ability to do good in the world? And what about the catch-up factor for the internet? I mean, as you say, internet pickup is quite low in many parts of the developing world, but surely it must be on the rise as well.
The television can't do everything the internet can do. You know, the internet can show TV shows. It's a lot harder to browse the web on your TV, at least on the standard TV. So absolutely, the internet can do more. Having said that, the range of ways that TV is being used to have an impact is really quite incredible. Let me give you an example. In India, they have a program that shows Bollywood musical segments. And so it's just favorite songs from your favorite Bollywood musical. And all they do is subtitle those songs in the same language that they're sung in. And it's one of the most popular shows in India, and people who watch that show, their literacy improves quite noticeably, quite dramatically, because, you know, as they sing along, they see what the words are. And so it can be used for that kind of adult education. We also see in Mexico a series of programs called Telesecundaria, which basically broadcasts TV programming to secondary schools in rural Mexico. And where that happens, you see the gap between outcomes in rural schools and urban schools drop to almost zero. And indeed, actually, in some cases, the rural schools start overtaking the urban schools in terms of test scores. So the TV creatively used can have a really quite dramatic impact in a range of areas where, frankly, to date, we don't even know, you know, the full impact of the internet in education, for example. There is still a big row about whether using the internet in school is actually good for test scores or not. So the TV really does have a big role to play, even in the era of the internet. And yes, the internet will spread, and yes, the internet is a wonderful technology that has a lot of roles. But at least for the next few years, in most of the developing world, it's the TV that's having the big impact on individual lives.
Television, the drug of a nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of a nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation TV.
Well, maybe not, as we've just heard. I was speaking there with Charles Kenny, and he's a development economist with the World Bank based in Washington.